insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome you to another of our programs, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون.
We were discussing verse 130, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to those who, as we explained in the previous session, we're talking about what the religion of some of the previous prophets was, and claiming that some of those prophets were Jews or Christians or whatever, which the following verses will discuss. In this verse and some of the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the story of Prophet Ibrahim to show what his religion, what his creed actually was. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَنْ يَرْغَبْ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَا نَفْسَهُ. And who will renounce the creed of Ibrahim except one who fools himself and is fooling himself. Now, we explained that this millah is, this creed is the creed of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which for us means that, or the concept itself actually means that at any time, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandates and obligates us to do, we listen to that, and that is submission. When He tells us that from this time onwards, you should not practice this, you should practice something else, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow the new rule and not to stick to the previous rule. Which again translates to following the religion of the time before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The religion that needed to be followed was the teachings that Prophet Isa had brought, and before that what Prophet Moses had brought, and before that what Prophet Ibrahim had brought, and before that, we have the teachings of Prophet Nuh, what was revealed to Prophet Nuh. Now, we were discussing in the previous session the issue of the difference between these religions. And we finished talking about the difference in the belief system between religions. And briefly, we said that there's nothing that is said in a religion that is rejected in another divine religion in terms of the beliefs. And what we mean by rejecting is that, unlike the practical laws, which we have examples that between religions, we have some teachings, that some laws that were mandated upon people and upon Bani Israel, that were revealed to Prophet Moses. And we see them being lifted, and when Prophet Jesus comes, He says that you no longer have to follow this law, you need to follow a new law. Now, this is what I mean by difference between two religions. We don't have this type of a difference when it comes to the belief system. you don't find something that is said truly and revealed truly to a prophet prior to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then find Islam saying that what was revealed to that prophet was good for that time, but now you don't need to, you shouldn't believe in that, you should change your belief to something else. We don't have anything like that when it comes to the belief system. But very importantly, we do have new details that are mentioned about the general principles that were mentioned in previous religions, and each religion builds upon the previous religion, and basically the more recent religions are more complete even when it comes to the belief system compared to the previous religions. Now, we want to talk now about the creed and the millah, which is what is mentioned in this verse. What is mentioned, millah, refers to the practical aspect of the religions. Okay, and we said now that the practical aspect of the religion is what could be termed as submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The new point that we promised that we wanted to talk about is the following, that yes, there are differences in the teachings of the prophets. There are differences in the practical laws that are mandated upon people. As we say very clearly, we find signs in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when Prophet Jesus came, he told Bani Israel, the Jews, and the rest of the people that were supposed to follow him, that from this point on, some of the things that were made haram on you, they are now halal. They're okay for you to perform from now on. We find that the prayer that was obligated upon the Muslims, the prayer that the Muslims were supposed to do, is different than the way the Jews were supposed to pray. Now, at first, the direction in which they faced was the same. The form, however, in which they spoke to God and they supplicated to Him was different. But then, after a while, even the direction changed to that of Kaaba. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. There's a ritual of Hajj. Now, this ritual of Hajj that we have in Islam, the Jews did not have. Of course, Prophet Ibrahim had this ritual. Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ismail, that son of Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ismail, which stayed in that region of Mecca, they had this ritual of Hajj, and that's why the Arabs, even before Islam, they performed this ritual. They had received this from their forefathers, which went back to Prophet Ismail, who was the first one who dwelled in that region. But we see that the Jews didn't have this ritual of Hajj. They didn't have to make a pilgrimage on a yearly basis or whenever they can to go to Mecca and perform this ritual. But we see the Muslims do have this. So we see the difference in the practical laws of these religions. What needs to be said is that although some of the examples of these practical laws are different, we need to emphasize that even when it comes to the practical aspect of religions, the principles of action, the principles of the rituals are the same. What do I mean by that? What I mean is this. For example, there's this idea of a daily connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of remembering some of His attributes, okay, which is what we call prayer. There's that aspect of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. It's one aspect. The other aspect of it is the aspect of servitude, ibadah, and practicing the spirit of listening and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This concept exists in all religions from day one, even Prophet Adam had this concept of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Nuh had that. All the prophets have got this concept of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. And we see that this is it becomes a daily ritual in these religions. The form of it changes. Even in Islam, at first, the direction was the direction of Baytul Maqdis, or Jerusalem. That was the direction they had to face. But that changed. But the principle was there. The concept of remembrance on a daily basis was there. The concept of fasting, okay, and staying away from the worldly desires during the year, you know, a portion of the year, this is a concept that, again, we find in the religions. In the different religions. The concept of the social aspect of the religion, that if someone openly commits sins, there is punishment to it. That principle is there. Now, the application of it in certain cases is different. And interestingly, of course, when we look at the Jewish law compared to the Muslim law, even the Jewish law that is altered that we have today, we see a lot of similarities even in the details and the application of this general principle of the penal law that you find in these religions. But the important thing is the core and the principle is there. The surface of it, or the outward existence of this concept, may be a little and slightly different, but the actual concept is there. So we can say basically the principles of the religion of Prophet Ibrahim are something that are kept in the following religions as well, and those principles are what should not be looked away from, and that is what this verse is also emphasizing.
وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ
We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us have a better understanding of these verses and also to be able to practice them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سُبْحَانَكَ يَا مَنْ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ 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 سُبْحَانَكَ